Today's daf in Masechet Chagiga is daf Tes, and we're holding right there at that Halakha Mishnah on the fourth line of the daf. Mi shelo chag b'yom tov harishon shel chag chogeg et kol haregel b'yom tov ha'acharon shel chag. To somebody who did not bring his Chagiga, on the first day he could continue to bring his Chagiga all through the Yontov, even including, and remember, B'chag, Yom Tov Rishon HaChag, is a reference to Sukkot. Well, Sukkot has got another holiday at the end of it, which is called Shemini Atzeres, but it's a different holiday. It's not really Sukkot, because remember, we have all those in Yonim of Pizar Kashev, which each one of them shows that it's a different holiday. Nonetheless, Sukkot has a Chagiga that can be brought on Shemini Atzeres. Whoa, okay. Ovar HaRegel, V'lo Chag, but once the Yontav was over, then there's no way for you to bring that korban, and therefore you can't make up for it, but through any kind of tashlumin, there's no chiyav to do anything with that money. I mean, unless it was already, of course, mufresh, then there's a chiyav to utilize it, but that's even true of a yoresh, but we're talking about there's no chiyav to start now with the chagiga, but that should not be a relief. That is a disaster. Because al ze ne'amar mu'uvat lo yuchal itkon, v'chesron lo yuchal lehimanot. This is when it says something that has been perverted cannot be made straight. And something that was missing can't be counted. So that means that you are basically unable to be metaken that issue. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh omer, ezeu mu'uvat she'eno yachol lehitaken. When we're talking about something that can't be fixed, it would be, let's say, sleeping with an erva. Well, what's the big deal sleeping with an erva? You can always do tshuva. Ah, but what if you had a little mamzer from that little night affair? So then that mamzer is always there. And then that's something that you can't get rid of, can you? It's all very nice to do tshuva, but you're not going to be mochek the impact of the action. And therefore, there's a standing reminder of that chait, and of course, as we explained in Hilchos Teshuvah, there's always the impact of that chait is something that is that which is b'chayiv the kapara. But you can do teshuvah, obviously, and you can get mechila, you can get selicha, but you're not going to be able to wipe out the chait because the mamzer is walking around, and that is the presence, the undeniable presence of the chait. So that would be called a muvat shenu yochol yitakin. Because itema, if you're going to tell me, no, it means somebody who stole money. I mean, you can't get back the money. I mean, that's not the problem. And then you can have no problem with the kapara. The giving back the money is itself, as the Rambam again lists, the mechaper. So if it's together with the shuva, so then you could be mochik the chek. Okay? Must be, therefore, something like this, like having a mamzer walking around. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, you guys are missing the main point over here. We're talking about over here perversion. We're talking about mu'uvat. So what does that mean? Mu'uvat means something that used to be straight, and then it became crooked. That's the pshat of a mu'uvat. You don't call something mu'uvat when it was never straight, do you? I mean, you were ma'avid it. It just is what it is. So when you're talking about the mu'uvat that you cannot be metaking, that has to be something much more dramatic. So it's something that was metukan betchila v'nitavet, and that would only be a Talmud Chacham who now turns his back to the Torah and walks away from the Torah. Now he's decided he's got other things in life. So that is a profound perversion in which something was mamish straight, and now he's lost all of his straightness. That's eno yachol litkon. Why is it a eno yochol litkon? That is not clear. Why it's called mu'uvat is clear. The first pshatim who say that the eno yochol litkon is referring to something where it's undeniably irreparable. Fine, I understand. But why is the Talmud Chacham Shapirish bin HaTorah, why is that irreparable even though it is a mu'uvat? So is it that that period was lost to life and can't be restored, but that's included in the chesron lo yochal lehimanot, right? That's the difference between the two parts of the pasuk. Muvat lo yochal litkon is something that was actively, positively done, and that can't be repaired. And the other part, chesron lo yochal leimanot, is something that was missing, can't be refilled. So you can't make up for the loss. But the one is passive, where the problem was a passive problem. One is where there's an active problem. So how does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai address, he's addressing the evos, but is he addressing the active versus the passive? Something to think about. Okay, ask the Gemara, where indeed do we get the idea that Sukkos can be extended into Shemini Atzeres in terms of the Tashlumin? I thought that Shemini Atzeres is a completely different holiday. Semino Anemile. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Look, it's basically a pasuk. And as Tosfos brings, there are other rayas to this from other psukim, from the other Yom Tovim as well, that the Yerushalmi brings. And that, says Rabbi Yochanan, he's quoting Rabbi Yishmael, Atzeret is said b'Shvi Yishol Pesach, right? So the Torah calls Shvi Yishol Pesach b'Feresh, b'Yom HaShvi'i Atzeret. But it also calls the Shmini of the Chag Atzeret. Now, obviously, Ma'al Ha'alam Tashlumim, just like Shvi Yishol Pesach is obviously considered to be a Tashlumim, then despite the fact that Shmini Atzeres, in terms of Pesach Kashav, is considered to be a different holiday, nonetheless, it is the Tashlumim. Hey, I mean, I sure hope that that is a mufna. Mufna means that the pasuk is extra. Because if it isn't extra, remember the general rule is that if you have a gezeira shava, that you have questions to show that it's inapplicable, then unless the word was made extra, you cannot use it to be docha the svara that shows that it makes no sense. So therefore, I sure hope that this was mufna, because if it isn't mufna, there's an obvious question. Malach Mishal Pesach, Shekenein Chaluk Mishal Afanav. The last day of Pesach is like Pesach in every single way. It just adds the Yisr Malacha, so that it's similar to the first day of Pesach. The last day of Sukkos is totally different. It's got all the different set of korbanos. It has the different pious. It has the different brocha. It's called a different name. All those things that are part of Pesach Kashav. So, I mean, you can't just say because of the similarity of the language that therefore we're going to give it the same din, right? So it's cholok mishal afanav. Yes, of course. Lie means indeed. It is afnuya mufne. It's totally extra because, look, what does the word atzeret mean? Atzeret means atzur. You're not allowed to do melacha. So it means atzur basiat melacha. So can you explain to me why I need to say that? The Torah says beferish in the same pasuk. Lo ta'aseh melacha. Atzeret yelachem lo ta'aseh melacha. I mean, that's about as redundant as you could possibly get. Why did I have to even mention the word atzeret then? So atzeret tekat rachman olam ali. Therefore, it's coming to tell me, shma mina la'afnuye. Now, even though normally at this point you know what we do. Oh, Nikolaman Yomar Mufta Mitzad Echad, etc., 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 right? But the Gemara doesn't do that here for two reasons. Number one, since Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael happens to be the Shita that holds that Mufta Mitzad Echad is sufficient to be Belamedim Ve'en Meshifim. So we're not going to ask on Rabbi Yishmael. And secondly, number two, it's because of the fact that obviously the same teretz goes on both because it says the same thing by Shvi Yishol Pesach. It also says lotah simalach, which would mean that the atzeret is muftam shneit stadim, and therefore it would be a sort of an exercise in an obvious for us to go through it all over again. So I see this is like a whole new approach, pretending that you show your face and then gradually disappearing. So now Barnea has disappeared, you know, maybe as Alfred Hitchcock walks by just to give us a cameo shot. And Gershi has disappeared, and Ari has disappeared, Moshe Forman has disappeared. And this is quite a nice trick over here. Oh, Avichai at least showed up again. All right, okay, fine. Moshe's back. So we'll hope for the best.
All the most handsome ones are still appearing.
I got you. That's definitely a way to encourage the others, right? Okay, so anyway, we have therefore a mocker from the Torah, that we can be mashlim, our missing korbanos, even on Shmini Atzeres. Now, Rabbi Yochanan brought this, right? It was quoted from Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. Shall we take a look at how a Tana would approach the sugya? Yes, indeed. Tana ma'isele mi'acha. There's another marker that is brought not by an Amora, but by a Tana, because this comes from a Braita. The Tanya. V'chagotem oto chag la'ashem shivat yamim. So now, when we have this pasuk, chagoto, what is the meaning of that oto? Chagotem oto. Okay. So then you, chagotem, we're taking to mean as a chagiga, that you should bring your chagiga for shivat yamim, bechodesh hashvi'i, tochogu oto. Great. Okay. So it's telling me that I've got 7 days to bring the chagiga. That seems to be the maximum, right? Now, you might think that this means every day you have a chiyav of a chagiga. So, yocho yechogeg v'olech kol shiva. You might think that this means that every single day, shivat yamim, you're going to have to bring a chagiga. No. Talmud lomar v'chagotem oto. Oh, look, what could have just said? V'chagotem shivat yamim, right? V'chagotem oto means that one single time. So, that means that there's only one day to bring your chagiga. Okay, great. Now, that says, oto atachogeg, but yatachogeg kol shiva. But I understand, the pasuk does say to be chogeg shivat yamim. I mean, so what do you mean? Only one. Then why did it say seven? Seven is if you missed the one. That's the point. In other words, you've got makeup time, but it's still making up for the oto. That's the point. So therefore, we've got 7 days, but only 7 days. How about Shmini Atzeret? Here's where we get to the Tanis Raya. Minayin she'im lo chag yom tavarisho shechag, shechogeg v'olechet kol haregel, including even Shmini Atzeres, the yom tov ha'achron shechag, tamud lomar, b'chodesh ha'shevi'i tochogu oto. Now that's a different issue. That comes to tell me that you could be chogeg on the chodesh ha'shevi'i. Mashma, you can go ahead in the 7th month, meaning even after the Shivas Yemei Sukkos. Oh, so you mean I have the whole month? Iba Chodesh HaShvi'i. In other words, I can, any time, as long as it's still Tishrei, I would still be able to bring my Korban Chagiga for Sukkos. Wow, that's a new one. So Yochol indeed Yechogeg V'holech Chol HaChodesh Kulo. Talmud Lomar, the Torah repeats again the Oto. And that Oto, at the end of the Chagotem, after, the first one was the Chagotem Oto, and then it says again, U'bachodesh HaShvi'i, Tochogu Oto. So the first one came to tell me the Oto, that the only Chiyav of Chagiga is on that first day, and not a Chiyav of all 7. But the second one that comes along to tell me that it could be any time in the Chodesh, what is that coming to tell me? It's coming to tell me that we still make a reference to the Yemei HaChag, and not to outside of the Miachak. So the Chodesh HaShvi'i, therefore, is the Chodesh HaShvi'i of that Chag. So that includes even Shmini Atzeres, which is still in the Chodesh HaShvi'i. Now, what that means is that we've got Tashlumin, but it is not clear what exactly is meant by Tashlumin. So what is Tashlumin? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it means Tashlumin L'Rishon. You had a chiev, the chiev was oto, like we said. The fact that it adds the shivas yamim, that adds a makeup period for the time that you missed, the time that you missed being the first day. Now, suppose you weren't even chayev on the first day. Suppose you were lame on the first day. So then, even if you had an operation and you became perfectly walkable on the second day, you wouldn't be bringing a carbon on the second day, because the second day is only a makeup. If you weren't chayev in the oto, how could you make up for something you were never chayev? That's how Rabbi Yochanan understands it. The oto is the only day of the actual chayev. The shiva yamim, or bechodesh hashvi'i, that is makeup time for that day. Masha Enken, Rav Oshaya says, no, each day can make up for the loss of any other day. So, what does this mean? What do you mean? If you're telling me that there's a chiyuv of every day, so then it's not tashlumim zelazeh, it's just a chiyuv to bring a chagiga al shiva. But we were docha that. There is no tashlumim. There is no chiyuv, rather, to bring a kol shiva. There's only a din of tashlumim. So how are we calling it tashlumim? Is it just a strange way of saying that every day is a chiyuv, and if you didn't use that day, then the next day's chiyuv makes up for the previous day's chiyuv? Then why are you calling it tashlumim at all? Now, Tosfos, who seems to understand it that way, which is very strange, because it doesn't explain the word tashlumim, so he questions if that's the case. So suppose he was chayev on Yom Rishon, and then he became lame on Yom Sheni. So now do we say that on Yom Shlishi, when he becomes roy to bring again, so now he's chayev because of the Yom Rishon? Or do we say, since each one is a tashlumim zelazeh, if he wasn't chayev on the second day, so then now he can't become chayev again? But as Rashi points out, the issue over here is simply, what is the oto? That's the question. If you learn that the oto is by definition the first day, objectively, of the chag, so then you'll have to say, once he was chayev, he's chayev all along, and if he wasn't chayev, then he isn't chayev, no matter what happens afterwards. Mashenkin, if you hold like Rav Hoshaya, so then you will hold that he is chayev on the first day that he's able to be included in the chiyev. That's what oto means. Ah, you came today because now you're able to walk? Okay, that's the oto. Now tomorrow is the tashlumim for that oto, and so is the day afterwards the tashlumim for that oto, if you didn't bring it the day afterwards. So kulam tashlumim zelazeh doesn't mean if I miss the first day, bring the second day, and then I have a chiyuv on the second day. So if I miss the chiyuv on the second day, I could be yotze the chiyuv because the third day is also a chiyuv. No! Whatever the first day was, that is the chiyuv for the rest of the days. That's the tashlumim zelazeh. So it truly is tashlumim. Rashi is explaining why it works to use that lashon perfectly well. It really is kulam tashlumim. That's the point. Lovely. Okay. So continuing on. So this machlokes would make a tremendous nafkamina lahalacha, whether it's tashlumim zelazeh or whether it's kulam tashlumim l'rishon. My binai, what is that difference? Omer Rebbe Zera, it's an amazing difference. Supposing a guy was a chiyar b'yom rishon, and he couldn't walk, he's lame. And now, on the second day, he gets fixed. They set the bones, he's ready to walk, and everything's fine. That's a tremendous nafkamina, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's a tashlumin for the first day, if there is no first day, then how can there be a tashlumin for the first day? But, he's, by definition, never going to be chayev. Whereas Rabbi Hoshaya, who says it's tashlumim zelazeh, so then even though he wasn't roy on the Rishon, but now the second day was the day that he came and was shayach, and therefore that day is mechayev. In which case, it works out perfectly well that he should bring. He's chazi b'sheni. Wait, so now, are you telling me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, the way you've analyzed it, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that unless you are chayev at the initial point where the chiyev takes place, then there cannot be a concept of tashlumim. Tashlumim never means a reiteration of the chiyev. It bedavka means a paying up of a chiyev that was, right? Okay, so if that's the case, we're going to run into a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that. Because take a look at this case, very fascinating, with its implications for what we've been talking about over here. You're telling me that this is what Rabbi Yochanan holds? Not true. Because Chizkiah pointed out, now this is very important for us, a little bit of background on this, the way that most of the Rishonim understand the conversation here. We're switching to the sugya of Nazir. So the sugya of Nazir is like this. The Nazir becomes Tamei. He has to take 7 days to become Tahar. And we remember we're talking about Tumas Meso over here, and he has to do Hazoya. And when he finishes that, then on the 8th day, he is going to bring his karbonas to the shaving, start over again, and so on and so forth, right? So now, the question is, what if he becomes Tamei again during that period? Is he chayev a separate karbon because he became Tamei again? Or is he only chayev a separate karbon after he completed that entire process of becoming Torah. Now he's ready to begin his Naziris again. So then he's chayav a separate korban. But if he just becomes Tomei again, so then it's basically all one long tumah, right? So the question is like this. Chizkiah says, a Nazir who became Tomei, and he became Tomei on the eighth day, he's got to bring a separate korban, because the eighth day is really, I don't care if he brought his korban yet. He didn't bring his korban yet. But he was chayev to bring his korban on the eighth day? Yes. The fact that he didn't bring it, so he'll be marshaling it later on. He became tummy again. He obviously can't bring that korban, but the fact that he was became tummy doesn't mean he's putter from the korban, and we can't include the second tumah in the first tumah because he was already chayev on the first korban. Fine. But what about if he became tummy in the night of the eighth day? So he had finished the 7 days. Problem is, theoretically, he could bring his carbon, except for the fact that you can't bring a carbon at night at all. Biyom Tzavoto. Okay, so now you can look at it like this. He's got a technical issue. He's not yet able to bring the carbon, right? So does that mean that he was mischayev in the carbon but can't bring it, and therefore he would still be mashlim or not? So the halacha is, says Chizkiah, that if he became Tomei on the night of the eighth day, in other words, the night between the seventh day and the eighth day, so then he does not bring the korban for the first tumah, because he was never yet chayev that korban, and therefore he's not mashlim that korban. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Even if he became Tomei the night before the eighth day, he still is going to have to bring a separate korban for the next tumah that happened during the night. Because what? Because what? I mean, there wasn't yet a chiyev that you can be mashlim, right? It's like he was a chiger in our case. There's no way for me to bring my korban chagiga because at this point I'm not chayev. Okay, so then the same thing is true over here. There was no way for me to bring my korban at night because I'm the biggest chiger possible. There are no korbanas at night. And if that's the case, then Rabbi Yochanan, the Shitato, well, you're claiming that if somebody was chiger at the Iker time when he became chayev, how do you explain that he was always potter, he'll remain potter, so then over here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he was the ultimate chiger being nighttime in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan, you, to be consistent, ought to say that there is no way to be mechayev him to bring that korban. And therefore, when he brings the second korban, that's the korban. Yet Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says he still has to bring korbanos for the first tumah because he was mischayev in that korban, even though he was a chiger, so to speak. Explain that. Rabbi Yirmi, I can explain that in a brilliant way, because there's a major difference between being a chiger and being a problem that has to do with tumah. You know why? Because if somebody was tamei on Pesach, okay, does he make it up? Yeah, it's called Pesach Sheni. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says to himself, why do you make it up? Since there's no concept of tashlumin when you were potter on the original one, so why do you bring the second one? So clearly, the Torah does not consider to be in the issue of tumah, the Torah does not consider to be the problem, the fact that you were not chayev. You still have to make it up. Oh, says Rabbi Yochanan, so if that's the case, then in the case of the Nazir, we would have to come to the same conclusion. So therefore, you're saying, I can't bring my carbon, so therefore I'm potter, and therefore there's no tashlumin. Not true. If that were so, there would be no Pesach Sheni. And the Torah gave us a Pesach Sheni. How do you like my brilliant answer, huh? So that's it. Matkiflor of Papa, wait a minute. It is a brilliant answer. The problem is that it gets into a problem that is a machlokas, and you haven't dealt with that. Because the question is Pesach Sheni Tashlumin or not? That's the question. I mean, what do you mean, is it Tashlumin? Well, imagine a situation in which somebody wasn't even Jewish on Pesach Rishon and then became a ger. Now it's Pesach Sheni. Does he bring a Pesach Sheni or not? That's a machlokas. If Pesach Sheni is Tashlumin, so then of course he doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. I mean, was it Chayev in Pesach Rishon? Why should you bring Pesach Sheni? But if you hold that Pesach Sheni is just another holiday, an opportunity to bring a Pesach, if you haven't brought a Pesach, then it has nothing to do with Tashlumin, and then the Ger would bring a Pesach Sheni, even though he wasn't Jewish on the Pesach Rishon. Okay, so then your answer is a brilliant answer, but only if we make the assumption that Pesach Sheni is Tashlumin. How about if it's not? So Hanicha L'man D'Omar, yes, is Rebbe, brilliant answer, if you say that Pesach Sheni is Tashlumin of the Rishon. Okay. But what about according to the Man D'Omar, who says Pesach Sheni is another holiday? And therefore, if you just became Jewish now, you're chayiv in that holiday. Sheni Regel B'fnei Atzmo, what are you going to do then? You're going to have to find it. I mean, you want to involve Rabbi Yochanan in taking a position on that issue when we don't have such any kind of data? Michael Amema? No. Look, I may not be as brilliant as you, but I got a better answer. Elamer of Papa, I think that the whole question is absurd. Because when you say that the night before is not yet a time in which I'm chayev a korban, that's the loose screw in your reasoning, okay? You're comparing the nighttime to being lame, but that's not a good comparison. Because the nighttime, let me ask you something. What's the problem in the nighttime? The nighttime is that you are unable to bring the korban, but that's not the same as the chiger who can't bring the korban. Because the reason you can't bring the korban in the nighttime is simply because the sun hasn't come up yet. That is called mechusar zman. So it's okay, you're missing time. Mechusar zman has different dinim in terms of ptur and chiev. If you hold that Laila is not called mechusar zman because it doesn't affect the korban individually in any way, and it's simply I'm just waiting in line to bring my korban, so to speak, except that my line extends till the morning. So then that would be, once Rabbi Yochanan would hold that, and I'm suggesting that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds, that Laila is not mechusar zman. And if Laila is not mechusar zman, then the nighttime is already the time that you were chayev to bring your korban, and because of a technicality, you weren't able to bring it. Not because there's a ptur, there's no ptur, there's a chiyav. In which case, you were already chayev to bring your korban, and therefore it has tashlumin. Ha ha. Masha'enke, when it comes to a chiyer, that's a problem in the etzem chiyev. That's not a problem in a delay, a technicality. A chiyer is not chayev in chagiga. So, the whole question was based on a false assumption. That's my answer. Maybe not as smart, but came out better. Wait a second, though. Hold on a moment. You're telling me now, okay, so you're coming out with the idea that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the chiyuv is betzim at night, and Laila's lav mechusar zman, and I'm not sure that that's true. Because Rabbi Yochanan says about a related sugya, and this time we're getting on to the question of zivas. So we have the same question. A nazir has got to count to 7 days, right? Because he has to become tor. And then Leil Shmini becomes tummy again. So let me ask you an equivalent case of a zav. Now a zav is chayav, a zav bal shalosh riyos, is chayav a korban, right? And he had to keep shivas nekiyim. And he can only bring that korban after his shivas nekiyim. So let's imagine a situation like this. The zav is roya shalosh riyos, keeps his shiva nekiyim. The night of the eighth day, in other words, the night between the seventh day and the eighth day, he has another riyah. Now, that is not doche shivas nekiyim. Shivas nekiyim is over. So in which case, he was already chayev the korban. That's what you're saying, because laila's lav mechusar zman. And then, when he gets another ziva, let's say he has three additional re'iyas. So what would be the din? He has to wait now another 7 days. At the end of the other 7 days, when he becomes tor, he's going to have to bring two korbanas, because he was already chayev once for the first zivas. And Laila's lav mechusar zman, who was already basically chayev in that korban. Now there would be tashlumin for that korban the moment that he's able to bring it, which is at the end of the next 7 days, on the eighth day after the second zivas, right? That is what the halacha ought to be based on your current analysis of Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Problem is, let's take a look at this. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, if that zav had one re'iyah in the night between 7 and 8, And then the next day in the daytime had two Re'iyahs. Then, and only then, he would have to bring a separate carbon for the second set of Zivas and for the first set of Zivas. But suppose he had two Re'iyahs at night, and obviously all three, and one the following day, then Eino Mevi. Why not? Well, because the logic is, this is a logic that was explained, as we'll see by Rabbi Yosef, we're going to get into that for a moment, is very simple. The logic is, basically, the first Re'iyah of a Zav is the equivalent of a Balkari. It's not really Zivas. It's physically Zivas, it's prostate fluid, it's not semen. But Lamaisa, it has the din of a Balkari. So therefore, in that event, if he would have two Re'iyahs on the next day, the only thing that makes that first Re'iyah at night significant for the Zivas is the fact that we could be mitzarif it subsequently to the next two Re'iyahs, and therefore, essentially, he's had all of his Zivas in the daytime, because in the nighttime, we still didn't have a concept of Zivas. We only had a Balkari, essentially. But once he has two Re'iyahs, then he becomes a Zav. Remember, he's not Chayav a carbon yet, but he is Chayav in the Shiva Sakiyim, and he is considered to be Tomei Mishkav u'Moshav, and so the whole deal, right? So therefore, there's something wrong with your analysis, because if according to Rabbi Yochanan, even all three Re'iyahs in the nighttime would be a separate Re'iyah, because he was already Chayav, the moment it was the nighttime, he was already Chayav to bring his carbon for the first Zivas. And therefore, there's Tashlumin. What do I care when he becomes a Zav? So I thought you said Laila is Eino Mechusar Zman, because Isaac Adai Chasav Rabbi Yochanan, Laila is not Mechusar Zman. How do you explain this? Even if it would be Shtayim Belaila Vakas Beyom, for that matter, if it would be all Shlosham Belaila, it would be Chaya. So apparently, your analysis is not correct. No, Rabbi Yochanan isn't coming to tell you what he holds. Rabbi Yochanan was just coming to tell you that if you hold that Laila is Mechusar Zman, then that would be the halacha. That if it was one Re'iyah at night and two in the day, that then you would still be Chayav two separate karbonas. What? What do you mean, if you hold? What am I, stupid? If Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't hold that, he has to explain to me what the din would be if I hold him. Obviously, if I hold that, then that's built into the equation, no? I mean, so what are you telling me? Rabbi Yochanan is only coming to teach me about what would be, I personally, of course, hold Laila is not because it's mine, but just in case you happen to hold Laila is because it's mine, I want to tell you some of the implications of holding that shita. I can't believe that you made that suggestion. Oh, shita. Oh, says the Gemara, it's not shita. It's not? No, because there's a whole other issue that we had over there in the sugya of Zivas. I need to know that Shtayim Biyom Va'achas Balayla, that is still a big chiddush to teach me that the second Tumah Zivas is not included in the first Tumah. Why? Because Salkat Daita Chamina Kat Kaftad Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idi. I might have thought that actually Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idi was right, and Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idi in that sugya said that actually Rav Yosef, who was the source of the Hesber that I just gave you, that since the first Re'iyah was only Keri, and therefore it's Mitztaref now to the second Re'iyahs, so therefore, in reality, we're pulling it into the period of the second Re'iyahs, and that all of the Zivas occurred during the daytime. But over there, Rav Shisha Bereder of Edi said, it's all very nice when you're talking about a regular Zav who is not now in the night of the eighth day. That's true. So we combine the original Re'iyah with the Re'iyah Shnia Vishlishis. But in this case, since he was still included in a Zman in which he was able to be still bringing a carbon for the Tumah that was before, so then maybe that would be a reason why you can't be Mitzarefet Bechlal to the next two. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan to say, you absolutely can. That's not a problem. Even if you hold that, like the Svara, that it's considered only to be a Balkari, it's still Mitzuraf even though you hold Laila is, not like me, you hold Laila is Mechusar Zman. And therefore, he still theoretically could bring one carbon for both Zivas, right? And therefore, if you could bring one carbon for both Zivas, if it would have occurred during the night, I don't hold that. But if you hold that, then you might say, okay, so then I can't be Mitzarif a Ziva that was the first Re'ia at night with Zivas the next day, which is part of a whole different period. And therefore, there would be no way to be Mitzarif to be Mechayivim a new carbon. That's not a Svara. It's cute, but it's not enough of a Svara to say that the first Re'ia is not Mitzarif at all. That's a Chiddush. Don't tell me it's Pshita. I needed to know that. Okay, tremendous Chiddush. Kamash Malan, Rav Yosef's explanation was fine, and that it's, this is the difference between a Re'iyah that is, has a din of Keri B'Alma or a Re'iyah of Zivas. Okay, so now getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says the Regel is finished. You didn't bring your Chagiga. There's nothing you can do. There's no Chiyav of Tashlumin. And Alzeh Ne'amar, this is what the Pasuk meant, what Shlomo HaMelech said, Mu'uvat lo yuchal litkon v'chesron lo yuchal lehimanot. You're not going to be able to fill up a missing chiyuv. Omale barhehe lehilal. So barhehe, this brings over here that why was barhehe called barhehe? Because he was a ger, and therefore he was the child of two heys. The Avraham, who gained the hay when he became a ger, so to speak, and Sarah Imenu, who gained the hay when she became Sarah. So he's the son of two hays, bar hay hay. Very sweet.
Ben Bad Bad, Bez Gimel is also hay. Is that connected?
Maybe? Yes, yes, they bring that. Yes. Anyway, so bar hay hay.
Can we extend that to BB as well?
Sorry?
Can we extend that to BB as well?
So, he said to Hillel, a brilliant question. What is lehimanot have to do with anything over here? If you're talking about cannot be filled, not be filled, lehimanot means cannot be counted, not cannot be filled. What is that supposed to mean? It's the wrong language. It should have said, lo yuchal lehimalot. Ela ze shemanu chaverav ledvar mitzvah v'hu lo nimna imayim. Lo yuchal lehimanot means that you refuse to stand up and be counted. So you can't be counted again. That's the point. So see, you get a bunch of guys together and they're all going to be going out to do a mitzvah, right? They say, okay, let's all go and be misameach. This poor chassid doesn't have any friends. We're all going to go together. We'll go to his wedding. We'll be misameach. And you say, nah, I'm too busy. So you didn't ever add yourself to that minion that was the himanot, okay? So you weren't part of it. They all go. Then you start feeling guilty, of course, afterwards. So meanwhile, everybody is gone, and they made this big dance, and it's great. The chassid is so happy. And meanwhile, well, you're feeling guilty. By the time your taxi arrives at the wedding, all these guys have left. Okay. So you walk into the wedding. Nobody is there. The chassan's miserable. And you start putting on a little show. And the guy puts on a little, yeah, thanks so much. It's really very cute. Okay. But you were not counted. That's the point. And it's never going to be the same. So if you have a rabbim that are doing a mitzvah and everybody's excited and they're happy to be together in this, you can't get yourself counted once you weren't counted. That's what it means. You weren't counted with them. Lo yuchal not lehimalot. But you might not get yourself counted afterwards. Tanya namihachi. Mu'uvat lo yuchal litkon. So this would be something like being mevato kriyat shema shel shacharit or kriyat shema shel arvit. Now this is a little weird. Okay, before we said, this is a bala erava, a holy bimena mamzer. I mean, this is like, that is positive. What do you mean you missed Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit? You missed Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. I mean, that is basically a bittel of a mitzvah's asay. Bittel of a mitzvah's asay, eino zaz misham ad shemo chalimla, right? And there's nothing else. So now suddenly we're bringing not only just missing out on something where there is no mamzer around, but we're talking about something that was passive. It was the non-kiyam of a mitzvah saseh, and now we're putting that into the same category as holy bimena mamzer. What's happening over here? It seems to be a direct contradiction what we said before. Mevato kriyas shma shel shachris, mevato kriyas shma shel arvis, or your mevato tefillah shachris, mevato tefillah arvis, abitel, as the Rishonim point out, means on purpose. Because if it weren't on purpose, you could always give a tashlumin. That's what we call tashlumin, right? Tefillah tashlumin. And by the way, Tosis is medayik from here, that even though we paskin that tefillah arvis is a rishus, but you are not supposed to be mevatel arvit unless it's under some real duress. Okay, but then you're not going to be able to make it up if you were mevatel it. Because then you can't, there wouldn't be tashlumin if you did it on purpose either. So let's just first finish the pasuk. V'chesron lo yuchal lehimanot. This is the raya to Ben Hehe, that nimnu chaveirav lidvar mitzvah v'hu lo nimna imahem. That's the raya. But how do we understand the first part? And so basically what's happened over here, this really, it's only the Rambam who properly addresses all of these issues, because all of the discussion in the Rishonim is sort of flailing about between the understanding of the difference between the power of Teshuvah versus the question of Kapora. And that's basically what the whole sugya is coming to talk about. The question of whether the Mu'uvat Lo yuchal litkon, is the mu'uvat necessarily a positive ivut, or is it something that normally would have been done properly and just got missed? That's the difference between does it have to be positive, or does it have to be not responding to the situation as required? You go to daven shachritz every morning and you decided you're not going. That's called a mu'uvas. On this level. Now the question is, how is the lo yuchal litkon? So the lo yuchal litkon, in terms of the presence of the mamzer, the introduction of lo yuchal litkon over there is because of the fact that you have a constant impact of the chet. The constant impact of the chet means that the kapora will be unable to deal with that impact. You see? That's exactly the point. Because the nature of kapora, as opposed to slicha or mechila, has nothing to do with the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you, Shem Hashem, I'm the same as I was before, same as I am after. Yeah, that's great. What do we do about the little bastard walking around? Oh, I can't do anything about that. So then, if that's the case, there is a mu'uvas. I can't fix the impact of your chet. But that would not include, if we're talking about a mu'uvas that has to be making something crooked, as opposed to a passive crookedness, would certainly not include missing kriyashma. But now let's say, if mu'uvas includes missing kriyashma, as far as the halacha is that someone who missed Kriyat Shema, what's the halacha? He missed Kriyat Shema, he does teshuva. Eino zaz misham ad shemo chalimla, right? He doesn't move from there before the mechila. But the mechila there, remember, that the Rambam brings, is the mechila that includes the full tikkun that we call kapora. Now, the question is, what about the fact that something is missing? Is that the same problem that is addressed in kapora generally? No. Generally, kapora is damage. Now, here the chiddush of the braisa is something is missing. Now, that is basically what the Mishnah was talking about, because it was passive. I did not bring my chagiga. Okay, so I wasn't yotzei echiev. Doesn't say anything about a lotase and missing my chagiga. I brought my re'ia. I wasn't over on lo yera upa nire kam, right? So now, why is that a mu'uvat lo yuchal litkon? Where's the mamzer? Therefore comes along the braisa to say that where something is missing in the nature of your reality, that is also a lo yuchal litkon. So it's all very nice to say that you got Slichu Mechila, but you cannot call it Kapora when there is something drastic that is missing. So then, okay, that is a question. Is that missing in terms of Kapora, or is it just making up for the world what's missing? Not having a Chagiga is a disaster. I mean, this is the time in which we're going to have all of the brachas that are coming from Hashem Varecha Hashem Lokecha. It's the Zman of the Din on the Tfuah, or it's the Zman on the Din of the Peres, and so on and so forth. What are you going to do about that? You can't change the fact that that hurts, but it hurts because it's missing. That's the question. Are we including that in the Lo Yuchal Litkon? So the Brit is pointing out that the only way to understand the Mishnah and the missing of a Chagiga would be just as applicable to missing Kriyat Shema. It's true that the element of the Chagiga may be missing for the world, but the Kriyat Shema is no different. It's your mitzvah with its impact on the level of consciousness in the world of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's missing, and there's no way you can make that up. So then when we're talking about the general Gedorim of Kapora, and the Rambam says that if you miss Kriyat Shema and you do, you have Charata, so then Eino Zaz Misham, if you do Teshuvah, of course, Eino Zaz Misham at Shemo Chalimlo. That doesn't mean that you made it all up now, does it? Because, I mean, if that were the case, you might as well live one day instead of living your whole life and then just make it up by doing Teshuvah. Doesn't work like that. Whatever is missed is missed. Tanya Nami Achi. Muvat lo yuchal litkon. That's exactly the point. Zeh shebitul kriyat shema shashachris. Omar le barhei litila. Once we're on barhei, let's hear some of the other interesting diukim that he made. What is the meaning of the pasuk that says, v'shavtem uri'item ben tzadik l'rasha ben oved Elohim asher lo avado. So here Malachi Anavi is talking about the Yom Adin HaGadol, and you, all of you, who cared so much, will be able to lie back and watch the difference of a tzaddik and a rasha on the Yom HaDin. Watch the difference between one who was Oved Hashem and one who was not Oved Hashem. What's the difference, asks Barheye, between a tzaddik and a rasha, or one who is Oved Hashem and one who isn't Oved Hashem? It's just repetition. It's the same idea, isn't it? Omar Leh said, Hillel, it's not the same idea at all. The difference between someone who is Oved Hashem and someone who is not Oved Hashem has nothing to do with a tzaddik and a rasha. Both of them are tzaddik and gemurim. The one who is not Oved Hashem is a tzaddik gemur. But do you really think it's the same to review the sugya 100 times or to review the sugya 101 times? No. It's not the same. Because the 100 times, that was the derech. But everybody would review a sugya 100 times because otherwise you're going to forget it. So therefore, it's simply life-preserving to make sure that you reviewed the sugya 100 times. What, I'm going to put in my life and then not get anything out of it? But the guy who does it 101 times, what's he doing it for? 101 times. It's got to be because he just loves the learning. He loves that additional avoda, the connection to Torah. Therefore, one is called an oved, because he did something special. And the other one is called a non-oved, because he simply wandered about. You'll see how this relates to the previous discussion about missing Kriyat Shema and calling that a mu'uvat, right? So Barheye said to him, whoa, I don't get it. Just because of one time, he's considered to be lo avado. Omar Leh said Hillel to him, listen, did you ever take a sheirut? You took a sheirut. So the sheirut got you all the way to Tel Aviv from Yerushalayim for nothing, right? Okay, what, I don't know what it is. It used to be 4.5 shekel. I guess probably now it's 45 shekel, but whatever. Okay. So then when you get to Tel Aviv, you tell the driver, listen, I got a heavy suitcase. I'm just 3 blocks away from where you dropped us off. Could you drive me there? Sure, he says, for 100 shekel. That's called the last mile. That last mile is where businesses fail. That last mile is where telecommunications fell. Yes, we're able to bring your optical fiber right up to your town. Thank you. That does me a lot of good. What's it going to take to get it right up to my home? Well, that's the last mile. That takes another 20 years. Okay. So Sazil, that's exactly the point. One is an Eved and one is not. So Tzeilamad, Mishuk Shachamarim. Take a look at the price of taxis that are working as Sheruts. They'll give you 10 parses for one zuz, but that extra parse is going to cost you as much as the entire 10 parses did. So you'll have 11 parses betray zuzit. That makes a big nafkamina. This is the beautiful shalom that the shalom says. It's gufa in the word itself, because oved elokim la'asher is the gematria of the first osios, or the gematria, obviously, of 101, because of the extra Elohim. So, Oved Ayin, Lamed, is Shloshim, Elohim. Lo Avado is only Lamed and Ayin, which is only 100. So, the Oved was 101. That's very cute gematria. Okay, that's how it works. Omerle Elio le Barheye. So, Elio Anovi said to Barheye. Some say he said it to Rebbe Lozer, not to Barheye, but anyway, how do you understand? He needs a rafticha v'lo b'chosef b'chartich b'chur oni. So what does that mean? I have refined you, but not with money, but with poverty. What do you mean? I've refined you not with money. How do you refine someone with money? Oh, Malamed. The point is like this: I refined you, but not the way you refine silver. How do you find silver? By heating it, putting it through hell. Okay. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melamed Shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol Midot Tovot Titen Yisrael. Yisrael needs help. And they can't handle things well. They need to be Me'urar to Teshuvah and to having a greater sense of understanding their dependency in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and having Bitochen and not being Mitga'eh and not thinking so much about themselves. How can I help them? I can put them through a cancer ward. Oh, that's awful. That is H. So then let me find something that works well. V'lo matza ela aniyut. The best thing was poverty, because people can deal with poverty in ways that turn it into an advantage instead of a disadvantage, so that their entire situation becomes one of feeling constantly not needing anything, learning to be sameach b'chelko, being completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, watching the people drive by in their Mercedes and laughing. That's an unbelievable madrega to be able to attain. And therefore, it's the most beautiful way to get Yisrael to be themselves. This is as the Rambam says. This is what we tell the ger. Brilliant. Why did Elio tell this to Bar Hehe? Because that's what we tell the ger. You see that Yisrael is in bad shape. That's because they can't handle all the good things of Olam Hazeh. They got these problems. They always get stuck up. They're always Az Sheba Umais, Am Kshei Oref. They're tough people, you know. So the fact that you see them all messed up like this is because their main focus is Olam Haba, and therefore they can't handle Olam Hazeh so well. That's why it says Eliyahu HaNavi says it to Barei. Perfect. So that's Tosus's shot. We have to know that Barei was a ger, so he needed to understand this Nakuda. Okay, anyway, so therefore, Anias, Omar Shmuvi, Tamer of Yosef, yes. People say that it is so appropriate for Jews to be poor. This is the shtetl. If you have a concept of a Jew in Europe, what's your concept of the Jew? The mud in the street, the schlepping along broken down horse that he's going to be using to make his nebuch a few kopecks, and he's going to be able to get a little bit of fish for Shabbos. This is the image. I mean, you really think that they make movies out of this stuff because it doesn't look good? They make movies because people love the image. That's the point. So sunrise, sunset, but we know what it's all about, right? So that would be the equivalent. Look, you can make movies about beautiful, gorgeous white horses. Okay? So then, yeah, sure, Winter's Tale, all about Asansor. Beautiful white horse. Perfect. But if there's something that needs fixing, what are you going to do? Splash mud all over the white horse? No. You'll take a red strap. You'll put the red strap around the white horse's neck, which only accentuates the beauty of the white horse, right? So therefore, a niyut is appropriate to Yehudai the way a barza sumka is appropriate to a susya chivra. It would be like using a red strap around the neck of a red, of a white, beautiful white horse. Reb Shimon ben Menasya omer, zeh mu'uvas lo yochol litkon, zeh abala erva v'olid mimenu mamzer. Well, I don't get it. What? Only if he has a mamzer? I mean, suppose he slept with some guy's wife, and now she is asura to her husband. Isn't that an ongoing issue? Which, how are you going to fix that? Now, you can't fix that any more than you can fix the mamzer. So you seem to be saying dafka if holid. But that would imply that what we need is a walking representation of that sad night, right? So here's the mamzer, the walking representation. But, I mean, the fact that this woman had to get divorced from her husband and so on, is that the same? Is that a walking representation? Not really. But in terms of impact, ongoing impact, that this woman who now loses the husband that she loved so much and so on, so then isn't that the same? But, I mean, you'll say no, but what about the Braita? The Braita says, Reb Shimon ben Menasya Omer, that gonev adam, so obviously this is the same Reb Shimon ben Menasya, somebody steals, you can give it back. Somebody robs, you can give it back. Gozel adam, efshar she'achzir gzel ov yitaken, but somebody was baal eshes ish, and asr that eshes ish to her husband, nidrad min olam v'olachlo, that's it, he just screwed up his whole life. Because whatever it is that he does, he's never going to be basically be able to fix that issue. And it's going to constantly be aching. Reb Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Ein Omer Bakru Gamal, Bakru Chazir. Did you ever hear in the Beis HaMikdash or somebody who's buying, check the camel for mums, check the piggy for mums? No. You are only mevaker a korban. Bakru Teleh, get your Teleh ready for Korban Pesach. That is the idea of becoming mu'uvat. If something is a pig, it always was a pig. But eze, ze talmid chacham shepireish min haTorah. As Reb Yehuda ben Lakish omer, kol talmid chacham shepireish min haTorah, alav hakatuv omer, kitzipor nodedet min kina. You're like a bird that has wandered away from its nest, from where its entire connection to everything is. And now you have no place in life. And it says, Ma matzu avotechem bi'avel ki rachaku mimeni. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Why did they go away from me? So only somebody that was once korov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be spoken about in that way. Now that has got to be somebody who was once korov and then got away. But anyway, getting back to the problem of Reb Shimon ben Menasya. So why does Reb Shimon ben Menasya say, Dafka, you had to have a mamzer? And over here he says, just sleeping with that Eishes Ish is bad enough. No, well, wait a second. Why are we limiting things to an Eishes Ish? Why can't the guy be sleeping with his sister? He slept with his sister. So if he had a mamzer, then that's a serious problem. If he didn't have a mamzer, so then it's not Lo Yochal Litkon. Eino Chinami, says Reb Shimon ben Menasya. If you're talking about Kan Be'eshes Ish, so then that would be a difference. Or it could be another issue. Maybe Hava Ha Be'eshes Ish. This is really an interesting Kiddush. Both are Be'eshes Ish, but the one that's Lo Yuchal Litkon is talking about that you need a mamzer. That's because he raped her. But without a mamzer, that's not a problem. But suppose it was consensual, then it's a problem. That's somewhat non-intuitive, right? So this guy should say, oh gosh, if only I had raped her, then I'd be able to be mitakein everything, because then she wouldn't be asura to her husband, right? What a shame that it was consensual. It's pretty astounding. But that turns out to be the nafkamina. So in one case, he asks her to her husband. In the other case, it's not a muvat sheni yochol litkon, unless he was able to be menu mamzer. Or We could say both cases were rape, but the case, one case, lokasha kan be'eshes ish. Well, we just spoke, kan be'eshes kohen, I mean. And over there, even though he raped her, an eshes kohen is asura, and kan be'eshes Yisrael, which is only a problem, if holod bimena mamzer. Once we talk about this idea of kitzipor noderet min kina, and a Talmud Chacham, who was chas v'chalila, he turned his back on the Torah. So then, when it talks about le'yotzei v'laba, ein shalom, people leave, people come back, they never have any peace. Omar Rav, you know what that means? Forget about a Talmud Chacham who turns his back on the Torah. Somebody who was involved in learning l'dvar halacha, he was able to be ma'asik sugya l'halacha, he decides he's going to give up on that. It's too complicated. I know people like this. It's too complicated. We'll just learn Chumash. I can handle that. I can't handle all this Gemara. Shuv ein lo shalom. He'll never have peace because his mind is already attuned to understanding things. And now he's going to go around, you know, talking about his boich svaras out of the Chumash without his being able to do anything with it. Shmuel Omar, forget about that. Suppose the guy was a big bookie in Gemara and he knew how to learn, and now he's, right, you know, it's too much already. What do I know? Let me just make sure I get the Mishnah straight. So now he's going to be learning Mishnayos. Same thing. Zerah Parish Mi Talmud the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says, forget about that. Suppose you end up turning from one shas to the other shas, right? So in other words, you used to learn Yerushalmi. There's a different approach. This is Rashi's approach. You used to learn Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, everything was clear. Now you decide you're going to start learning the Bavli. You're going to be miserable because the Bavli is called B'machashachim Oshivani Kimte Olam. You sit there in darkness. You never get anything clear. Everything is always left. There's El Tekus. I got 100 machlokas in. I don't know whatever I'm coming or going. Layotzei v'lava, ein shalom. I don't know if I'm coming or going. Exactly what the Pasuk uses the words. I don't know if I'm coming or going. So if you are used to having a little bit of peace in life, so then going now all of a sudden to the Bavli is a disaster. But Tosis Rit says, no, it's the exact opposite. Somebody was used to really engaging in things and fighting things the way that Bavli does and says, you know what? Forget it. The Yerushalmi is so simple, so straightforward, so clear. Let's go to the Yerushalmi. Once you get a pshat, I know it's hard to get the pshat because it's so tightly written and everything, but once you get a pshat, you got the pshat. Okay, whatever. So I'll learn that pshat. So because of that, you're actually going to end up in worse situation because you'll be in the same condition as having left from the Gemara to a Mishnah, is what we're saying. As the other approach is, suggested by Tosfos, either way, you get used to a way of thinking, you no longer know how it is that you're moving.